can. I had a vision during the song that was being played, the last song that was being played, and it mentioned something about strong tower. And I visualized this strong tower. If you can think about a structure that is put in place to withstand anything, and God is our strong tower. So whether it's weather, which is, the things that we go through in life, whether it is, pain in our body, whatever it is, God is our strong tower. God is the person that we lean on, the person that we consult, the person that we rely on in order to get through. So that strong tower, that tower continues to withstand anything, whether, it's a physical damage, whether it's weather. I just saw that strong tower, that tower just remaining. And so just continue to trust in God no matter what. And He's gonna always be there. He's gonna always be our refuge. He's gonna always be the person that will help us navigate. And He's gonna be the thing that's still standing. And He's gonna be the crutch that we're going to need in order to get through. That's the vision that I saw.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Accepting what God allows. It's not always what we want, but we have to accept what God allows. Y'all all know I've been married for 55 years. And out of the 55 years, there's been 54 years of physical problems. And I've been struggling because I was looking for a healing like I want it to be, to see my husband made whole, to see his body be restored, to see my own physical body restored. But it hasn't happened. So I went down real low. But as I was down here in this low place, God said, accept what I allow. And it's been hard, but we have to accept what God allows. It's not going to always be what we want it to be. But does that mean God doesn't love us? Absolutely not. He loves us so much. And just like the lady just said, the tower, He is our strong tower. And when we connect to the tower, we're able to go through no matter what it is. He's our keeper, He's our deliverer, He's our soon coming king. And we have to learn to accept what God allows. And that's the struggle that a lot of us are in because it's not what we want it to be. But you got to remember that you would not be here if God did not keep you. And Rufus and I know God as a keeper.
Thank you, Jesus.
We know Him as a keeper.
Thank you.
Because no matter what we go through, He keeps us.
Yes.
And I thank God for that today.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I
Thank
thank
you,
Him for
Jesus.
being my keeper.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
When Danielle
Thank you.
was worshiping, sister, when you were worshiping with your arms like this,
saw the wings of the angels like covering you. You are covered. You are covered. And God wants you to continue praising him just like you do. That unselfish praise. That unselfish praise. So no matter what, you keep praising him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Yes, 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 yes.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Yesterday when I was in prayer, the Lord talked to me about praying, how we pray and we say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. And then we proceed to tell him what his will is, which is usually what we want done. But God said his will is perfect. And we don't know. We don't know. Okay, something's not right. We don't know what God has. There are many things he keeps from us, but his word is true that he won't allow us to go through more than what we can bear. And many times our suffering, when we are suffering, it's to bring God glory. And you may say, how can my suffering bring God glory? It's because he knows that you will go through. You will uplift his name. You will glorify him. Recently, I had to go through a storm. And it was a fear of mine for so many years. And during that storm, the only time I got peace was when I prayed. I couldn't even open my Bible. I had no access to the Word of God. And I began to thank God for the years of reading his word. We are so fortunate to have a pastor that tells us, read the word of God. Because even when you're not trying to memorize it, as you read it, it becomes written upon your heart. And you begin to see how good and how gracious God is, and how mighty and powerful he is, and that he is a delivering God. And through that storm, peace came. Through that storm, while the enemy tried to impart fear and more fear, instead, God gave me peace through the storm. God is God Almighty. He is God Almighty. And if you will trust God, not your own thinking. Danielle, God, he pointed Daniel out to me. I know Daniel has had his hearing postponed, but I'm telling you, what Daniel wants to do, how he wants to minister to people, it's in there where he will minister and draw people to the Lord. It's in there where he will pray for people, because he knows what those people who are running that place are doing to them. And they need prayer. Their families have forgotten about them. Their friends don't want to know them. But God hasn't forgotten them. So you tell Daniel, don't be discouraged. Praise God. Because God is using him where he's at. Those of you who are dealing with sickness and disease, God is using you where you are. Those of you who are dealing with financial problems, there are many promises that are out there. It's a political season, and they're promising things to the Black people that they cannot give them. It's against the law. And many people don't know the history and the Constitution like they should. And so they're buying in. God says, if you're buying into what man is saying, you're looking to man to be your deliverer and not me. I am God. So you may suffer hardship, but will you do it by sacrificing your children to Baal? God is a righteous God, and we must be righteous. We must keep our eyes set on him. God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So even in the midst of turmoil, God will provide everything that you have need of. He will provide because he is God. He had me look at Israel and what Israel is going through. And we've been praying for Israel for a long time. But God has defeated her enemies. No matter how many times they would shoot at them and come at them and raise missiles against them, God defeated Israel's enemies. And now with Pastor, I listened to what you were saying, Minister Tabika, this morning, and what you were praying over her, I was saying. I said, thank you, Lord, for confirming the word that you put in my heart concerning Pastor, because God has to speak to her. She is not to be influenced by people. She is to move by the word and the spirit of God. It's not what we want. It's what God said. That's what we are to do. And for the last couple of weeks, I know y'all haven't seen me as much. God's been taking me through some things because we are getting ready to move. We're getting ready to move, and I'm saying, God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing? And he's having me, things are coming at me so much, it's just unreal, because God is moving, and he's taking me to a new ground because he's called me. And my third fear was going to Africa, but I think next year I'll be going to Africa. God is moving. He said, don't be afraid. Do not allow the enemy to put fear in any of you, because God has big plans, and you're going to have to trust God. Stand on his word. Stand by him. New vision. You are going into a new season where you are going to see God's hand move like never before. And people are going to be looking for God. You're going to have it to give to him. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, saints of God. Welcome to New Vision for Life Church, where the love never ends. And we are continually growing in Proverbs 29 and 18, which tells us where there is no vision, the people perish. But
Jesus.
Happy
yes.
that keepeth the law.
Yes, oh God.
So honored to be with you in this open time of collective praise, to lift our prayers, to lift our requests, to lift our praise to the precious Father that we know, that knows us collectively and individually by the very hairs on the top of our head, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. He knows everything about us, every thought, every issue, every weakness, and every strength. And yet he still sees fit to use us to benefit his kingdom. He still
yes.
sees fit to use us as the tools, as the vessels, as the conduits in the master's house. So bless God in his holy, holy name. We bless you, Father God. We praise you. We honor you. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
These broken vessels.
Our glory.
We thank you, Lord God.
Jesus.
For the master that can turn broken pieces into a masterpiece. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your grace, mercy, and favor, Lord God. We give you praise, glory, and honor, for truly there is none like you. None like you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Once again, good morning, saints. It's an honor to be with you and to have the opportunity to introduce and to present our beloved, excited shepherd, the woman of God we're blessed with, who's prayed for us, that we pray over, that we continue to keep uplifted, thanking God for her strengthening, for her healing, for her protection, for her guidance, that as she receives, she can continue to pour out for us. We thank you, Lord God, for the word coming forth this morning, a word that not only is a good word, but a word that does good, a
yes,
word that causes a change in our hearts and our minds.
Jesus.
Us, Lord God, that takes us from being who we were yesterday to the new creatures that you would have us to be, with a greater desire to serve you because we're learning more of you and thus the call upon ourselves.
Yes, the Lord.
God, I'm honored to introduce and present our beloved excited Apostle Etta Banks.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. To God be the glory for all that he has done. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Good morning, beloved. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I love each and every one of you. And of course, you know that I am excited. I am excited. I'm excited in my joy. I'm excited in my pain. I'm excited in my blessings. I'm excited in my sorrows. I am excited. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. And I pray that even in my excitement that forever that the excitement comes across even as the anointing of God, because I think that's the only way I can be excited in all of these different seasons and all of these different times and these different ways. It's just the anointing and the power of God. You know, David said in the word, you know, that there are times you have to encourage yourself because nobody's going to be around to encourage you. Nobody's going to be able to pat you on the back and say, "Atta girl, you did a great job. Hallelujah." We won't have Mark around saying, you know, saying the accolades. She prays for you. She does this, da 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 da. Yeah, hey, 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 you know. No, you got to encourage yourself. Praise be unto God. Thanks to God. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm excited. We're at the last session and dealing with the study of the Lord's Prayer. And I know you, look, I know that in the natural, y'all won't remember everything that was taught about each line of the prayer, please, I encourage you to go back and listen and listen and listen to what it is we've learned about the prayer. Because look, if this is what Jesus told his disciples to do, then we ought to learn to do it the way he said do. And that's not the only way to pray, but it's definitely a way that it will bring some victory. Do you hear me? It will bring some victory. So as the Lord Prayer goes, it goes, he said to, excuse me, to the disciples in Matthew 6 and 13, he said, in this manner, therefore, pray. When you pray, you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And we're on the line of deliver us from evil. And some versions of the Bible says deliver us from the evil one. Praise be unto God. So whether it's deliver us from evil or deliver us from the evil one, understand the fact that there is evil all around us. There is evil day in and day out. We will not escape the fact that evil is ever present. When we talked last week or the last time we had service, and it was lead us not into temptation, that indicated that the children of God were conscious of past sins, past failures, and they were fearful of falling back into sin any further. You know, you think about the things you've done, think about the things you've said. And when you said, Lord, don't lead me into temptation, you know, because I know I've been there, Father. I know what I did, and I don't want to go back there. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. So in the process of this, Father God, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the evil one. And in saying that, we're admitting that life is a struggle, you know, between the enemy who opposes us, with the enemy that opposes us. We have God on our side. We have God walking with us. We have God that's able to talk with us, lead us. He can order our steps. He does these things, praise be unto God. However, the evil one wants to be ever present in what it is that you're doing. He knows that we have been given free will to make choices on our own, and he wants to tempt you. He wants to tempt you to make a choice where you are not doing what it is that God is doing. You're not being in his perfect will. I loved it when Denise said, we say, God, I surrender to your will, and so forth and so on. And after we say, Father, we surrender to his will, then we say, by the way, God, your will is this. Bam and bam. And we will tell him what his will is, okay? We will tell him what his will is. And that's not the will of God. What does his word say? What is his will? You know, I used to struggle when we talked about God's perfect will and his permissive will and his permissive will. God's perfect will is what his word says. It's the word of God. This is his will for us. This is his will for our country. This is his will for the nation. This is his will for humanity. This is his will. However, there's the part where it's the permissive part of it. The permissive part is, if this is what you want to do, then you go ahead, I turn you over, and you do what you want to do. It's not what he wanted for you. It's not what he was willing for you. But he says, if you want, when the people wanted a king so bad, when they had God Almighty, and they want, you want a king? Here's a king. You got it. You want that particular car, when I'm trying to get you to hold out to wait for another car, you want that car? Go ahead. You get that car. That's not the one I'm choosing. That's not the one because I know the history of the car. I know that's not the one you should have, but if it's the one you want, hey, go right ahead and have it. Go right ahead and have it. We've got to be so careful. So when we ask God to not to lead us into temptation, and another part, let me say this, that Being led to temptation is not sin. It's the yielding to the temptation. That is the sin. That is the sin, is yielding to it. So be mindful of that. Be mindful. But here we're asking God to deliver us from the evil one. There's no part of our life that is not touched by evil. It has ruined our circumstances. It has marred our character. And it has affected the whole of God's creation. And according to Romans 8, 22 and 23, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body." Saints of God, evil is ever present, but God is so much more than that. Let me speak to you real quick here about the evil, and none of this is giving glory to God. Understand this. The fact that the Lord's Prayer recognizes evil as a deadly fact, yet there are many Christians who don't realize the battle that we're engaged in. And part of the problem is because of the fact that we have fictionalized the existence of the evil one. We have painted him with the horns and a pitchfork and a long tail. We have fictionalized him, you know, in a manner that it makes it easy for people to accept that picture, that look, that thought, that thought. Praise be unto God. According to the national survey conducted by Barna and for research, Barna Research is one of the top research agencies that there is, and to look for statistics. That is what they do. And according to the Barna Research, most Americans do not believe in Satan. Listen here, y'all. And you wonder why we are being pulled under. Most of them do not believe in Satan. 60% of American adults, which means 6 out of 10, believe that Satan is not a living being, but just a symbol of evil. Only 25% believe strongly that Satan is a real being. And only 45% of those who describe themselves as born again deny Satan's existence. Now you hear this, they deny Satan's existence. The devil has been portrayed as evil in appearance. When he's portrayed in the movies, he's all has a sinister appearance. You know, someone that's evil and so forth. But what does the Bible say he looks like? It says that the Bible says that Satan appeared as an angel of light. As an angel. See, if he came to us scary and looking horrifying, we would run. We wouldn't want to be in his presence. But he's an angel of light. He comes looking like an angel of light. And remember, he was a powerful angelic being. He was created by God. He was wise. He was beautiful. He was an angel. Yet pride and rebellion led him to commit the first sin ever. A lot of times we talk about the original sin and people think that's Adam and Eve. No, Lucifer committed the original sin. He committed that original sin in pride, in rebellion, and so forth. He sinned against God. He's the one that came against him. However, if Satan is the one who introduced sin into this world, he introduced evil into the world, then he misrepresented God and his motives to Adam and Eve. He represents, listen, saints of God, let me say this. Adam and Eve were created sinless. They were in the image of God. They were given the freedom to choose whether they wanted to obey their creator or not. But they were created by him. They were sinless. They walked with him. They talked with him. They supped with him. They did all of this stuff with God and was still able to be deceived. Because they chose to believe Adam, Satan, and ate the fruit that was forbidden by God, through their sin, sin entered into the entire universe. It entered into the entire universe through sin. Just one second. I just thought of something here. Let me just reach over here and get this. Ah, thank you, Lord God. Just let me get this. I'm sorry. I had to stop right there in the middle of that. I hope what I wanted to say, it isn't in this one. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But I'm talking about the fact of how Adam and Eve gave in to what it was that Satan said to them after, here it is, after walking with God. Now, you know that spiritually, we have our walk with God. And spiritually, we have communication with God. We have fellowship with God. We have relationship with God. But you couldn't have been any closer than Adam and Eve was. Okay, and understand, we can be as close as they were spiritually because we have Holy Spirit living within us. But I'm just trying to get you to picture Adam and Eve actually being there with God, okay? And they sinned. They were deceived. And when I was looking at this, and I mentioned this, I don't know whether it was on Heart to Heart or wherever it was I mentioned this, but in Genesis 3, when the conversation went on between Eve and the serpent, understand that the temptation, here's that temptation. That temptation came. And in that, does somebody, Tamika, pull up for me, honey, while I'm speaking. Pull up for me Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 3. Pull that up for me, please. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Okay, start reading for me, please.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths."
Okay, you can stop right there, right there. Now, you heard the steps that went through this, and because I didn't point out the steps to you at that point in time, you might have overlooked it. But I want to show you how, with temptation from the evil one, how progressive this is from the time you hear it to the time you actually perform it. Look at what the steps that have gone you're going through, and understand that each one of those places was a way for you to escape. There was a, God said, "I'm not going to put any, allow any temptation to come before you that you can't escape, that you can't get out of. There is a way to escape." And as baby girl read that, she, the first thing was, Satan spoke and Eve listened. She listened to him. That was the first thing. Then it goes to the point that she saw that the fruit looked good. She saw it. And then by her own will, by her own physical capabilities, she reached up and she took the fruit from the tree. She didn't take it from Satan. He didn't hand it to her. She reached up and she took the fruit from the tree. And then she partook of it. She ate the fruit. After she ate the fruit, she gave the fruit to her husband. Then her husband, without being forced to, ate of the fruit by his own free will, by his own choice. So, beloved, I want you to see all of these different steps took place. It was a progression from the very beginning to the very end. It was a progression. The very moment temptation comes, it'll start 9 out of 10 times with a thought that you have. You saw something, you think something. Then after you're thinking something, then you make the choice to participate in it. And beloved, none of our sin, hear me when I say this, you may think it is, but none of our sin is dealing with us and us alone. Somebody is always involved in our sin. Either the person that introduced it to us or the person we're introducing it to. Okay? Somebody else's hands is going to be involved in this. This is why and how things are spreading so fast. When you're dealing with drugs, somebody gave you your first taste of drugs. You like what you got out of that drug. Then what do? You turn around to somebody you love and you try this. You want to try this. This does so good for you. Man, I was in peace. Yet whatever the case may be, whatever it is, beloved, Satan is alive. He is. Now hear me. Because he's a created being, he is nowhere near as strong as God. He never will be. He never will be because he is a created being. He cannot be everywhere at the same time like God. He is not all powerful like God. He is not all knowing like God. However, he is the father of lies. You'll find that in John 8:44. He is the God of this age. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the prince of demons. You will find, praise be unto God. You will find that in Matthew 9:34. He's the prince of this world. You will find that in John 12:31. He is the ruler of the kingdom of air, of the air. You will find that in Ephesians 2:2. This is who he is. He's not a figment of your imagination. You must be prepared to meet the attack of the enemy. There are many factors that contribute to Satan's success at the art of deceit. Many factors. Again, he's not equal to God. He is of an order of creatures that's higher than man. He is of an order of creatures that's higher than man. He was created an angel, and amongst the angels, a cherub. Satan is successful in many of his experiences, but by his very longevity, he has acquired knowledge of great width and depth. He has acquired a lot of stuff. He's acquired the ability to transform himself in a variety of ways, but we can defeat the enemy who has already been defeated by Jesus. We can defeat him in our daily life. There's a thing where we have got to respect what it is that he does. Now, hear me when I say that. When I say respect it, if you think that Satan has no power to do anything, if you think that Satan won't come at you, if you think you won't fight a warfare against him, you won't put up a hedge of protection yourself against him, because you don't think that he can do anything to you. You walk in that, and you don't think he exists. That's what I'm getting at. But we've got to respect the fact that he does exist. Our Heavenly Father endows us with his spirit, with a spiritual common sense, amen, that he expects us to use in avoiding temptation. And in 1 Timothy It said, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. My students on here, as I say those things, you know those are the fruit of the Spirit. That is what you are. Thank you, Minister Tabika and Garnes. That is what you are to pursue. And no, that is the fruit of the Spirit. It said, flee these things. Flee those things that are tempting from you. If you have an addiction to a certain type of candy, don't go out here, do your grocery shopping, fill your cart up with that candy, bring it home, put it on the shelf, and look at it every single day, and then pray, God, please don't let me fall into the temptation of eating this candy. What did you buy it for? Leave that idea. Get rid of that idea. But you're tempting yourself. You're not being tempted by God. You're tempting yourself. So be mindful of that. We have, and that's part of the principle of removal. Remove those things. Flee from those things. Then you're dealing with, in James 4:7, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Beloved, take a stand. You got to make a decision. Take a stand. I'm not going down this path anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. Take a stand. Then in us being ready, our defense against the evil one is right relationship with God through the application of his word. I loved it when Prophetess Denise was speaking and she said, you know, that when she was out on the water and the only time she had any peace was when she was praying and she couldn't get her Bible. She didn't have access to a Bible. She was talking about that she wasn't getting internet connection on her phone. She couldn't pull up the word of God on her phone. But this is where she pointed out, thank God the word was in my heart. It was in my heart. And I was able to call on that was in my heart. I remember when I went to a workshop, a conference of some sort, and they asked us the question, if you were on a deserted island, what three things would you have? And this was a Christian conference, naturally. And what three things would you want on that island with you? Almost 90% of the people said, the Bible, and then they said, you know, food and water, and they said this, that, and the other, and they kept saying all of this stuff that they wanted, but the Bible was the number one thing that they said. And when it came to me, I gave three things and didn't even list the Bible, and they, whoa, wait a minute, what's up with that? Why aren't you saying, because the word of God should be hidden in my heart. I shouldn't have to carry that with me physically. I didn't have to carry that. So if it's in my heart, then let me put something else on that island that I can use. Okay. I don't need the Bible hard copy. It's in here. It's in here. We're not going to all memorize the word of God. But as we're reading the word of God, those seeds are being planted in our hearts. And when it's time for something to come up, when it's time for us to use it, God will bring back to us. And that's why we paraphrase so much, because we don't have it memorized verbatim. But oh, he will bring back enough of his word for you that you can stand on that word of God. You can stand on his word. So God wants us to be prepared and to be ready. And so we need to do that by having the word of God. In Ephesians 6, starting at verse 11, Paul warns us to put on the whole armor of God. Put it on that we may be able to stand against the wiles. The wiles are the tricks of the enemy, you know, his plots and his plans, that we can stand against this. The believer's armor is given in order that we may stand against our adversary, saints of God, that we may stand against our adversary. The belt of truth, that's what the soldiers that held up their armor in place. It's the truth that holds together all that we believe in one place. Since Satan depends on deception to maintain his power, our first line of defense is truth. Truth. I remember again in my worldly days, and even in it probably sometime even today, I used to tell people, you know, you think you're in a relationship, or you're in a club, or you're this, that, and the other, and you don't know what the rules are to play so that you can win. And my saying all the time back in the day, hey, tell me the rules so I can play. Tell me the rules of the game so I can play. Give me a chance to come out on top. You don't just come forth knowing all of the ways, all of the tricks, all of the secrets, and then I know nothing, and then you can take me out at any given time. No, let me know the rules of the game. And here in this rule of the game here is that our first line of defense is we got to know the truth. If all we know are the lies of Satan, then it's all over with. But when we know the truth, that's why the word said, whose report are you going to believe? Know that which is true and that which is a deceitful part. So you got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate protected vital organs, your heart, your lungs, and your kidneys. It is righteousness that protects us in the vital areas in our relationship with God. Any sin in our lives leaves an opening in our armor through which Satan can attack us. So you want to have that breastplate of righteousness on daily, not just on Sundays, but daily. Then you have the shield of faith. The Roman soldier's shield was sufficient size that he could take shelter behind it from the arrow of the enemy. If I, you know, a lot of times when we see the shield, you see them holding the shield, and sometimes it's just this small things. Honey, if you look back in the wars, some of the wars that were going on, they had shields that were man size, taller than the men, that covered them from head to toe. And they walked into battle because they look, they don't have the battles like we have where we got automatic weapons and we got cannons and so forth and so on. No, they did hand-to-hand combat. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Hand-to-hand. So they had a big shield in front of them. And so we are dealing with the shield of faith that would stop the arrows, the darts that would be coming at us. That shield of faith. And then we have the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is the knowledge that we are saved, and it provides us protection from Satan's two-edged sword of discouragement and doubt. That's what he did with Eve in the first place. He made her doubt what the word of God said, or what God said, not the word, what God said. He made her doubt that. It is the helmet that gave the soldiers the confidence to fight. Women and men of God, put on your helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, that's God's word, is our only offensive weapon, and it can be used effectively as we know it promises. It can be used effectively. Darlings, dress yourself daily with the full armor of God. Don't go into battle naked. Don't go out here and leave your house and face the world naked. Don't do it. Be prepared. You know, and I pray this is making sense to you. But like my sister had to go to her grandson's game. They're in a championship tournament or whatever the case may be. So she had to go to the game, and guess what? She went out before the game starts to get out there to pray, okay? To pray, to cover them, cover whatever the case may be. How many of us are going before a certain time to be someplace else and pray for what's going on there? How many of us, before church service on Sunday mornings, we pray already before we get online to come to church, because we're praying for the anointing. We're praying for a word that isn't just good, but it's a word that's going to do some good. We're praying for somebody's healing. We're praying for a release in this service. Pray, intercessors, come forth and pray. And listen, although Satan may be the ruler of this present evil world, though he may be the prince of power, the prince of the air, though he may have cohorts, those are the evil spirits, we call them demons and so forth, he has no claim over the children of God, nor does he have any power to tempt us except that which the Father allows. And if the Father has allowed it, beloved, you're coming out of it victoriously. You're coming out of it victorious. I know it's a thing when the word, look, when the word tells us we got to renew our minds, we got to change the way we think. Look, when I say if we're in it, then we're coming out victoriously because God is on our side. Do you understand that's why you can give a rejoice and a praise in the midst of the battle? Because you say, I know this thing is against me, but I know that I'm coming out. Listen. Pastor Charles said for 55 years they've been married, 54 of those 55 years, the man has been in pain, he's been sick, he's been this, she's gone through, and so forth and so on. The victory is they're coming out. Now, she may not see it. I hear you, Holy Spirit. She may not see it. Tamika, pull up Hebrews chapter 11 for me. They may not see it on this side of heaven, but God said, you're coming out. Your victory is going to be on the other side of heaven. It'll be on the other side. God can't lie. He never, ever said that all of these promises and all that we would find here and now. He didn't say that like that. Yet there are definitely healings. There are definitely promises that he gives us right now. There are those things, saints of God, there are those things that we won't see until we reach the other side. But if we pray, listen, if we pray, God, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, you're going to experience some of those things that you wouldn't have seen until you reached heaven. You're going to see them now. You will see them now. There's some things God is going to do and heal immediately. Some things God will take us out of our suffering immediately. Sometimes he chooses to let his child remain in it for a lifetime. But he always takes us through. And ultimately, he's going to deliver us from evil by taking us home to himself. He will deliver us from evil. In chapter 11, that is the faith chapter. I implore all of you to go and read that chapter. And it speaks about how each one of these men and women, by faith, this is what they did. By faith. Tabika, read a little of it for me. Give me a couple of those examples by faith.
Okay, hold on. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him.
Okay, get another one.
By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household.
Go on, find another.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who promised.
Okay, now go down to near the end of the chapter, where it was dealing with the fact that they did all of this by faith, yet they didn't see things come to pass.
Okay.
Near the last two verses, somewhere near there.
And so starting at verse 39?
Yes.
And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect.
All right. These people did what they did, and they did it by faith. And in even them doing what they did by faith, you get discouraged when you hear that verse. They didn't receive what was promised. But then it said, but God had better for them. Better for them. So even though by the stripes on his back, we are healed, if we do not have that manifestation of it here, God's got something better. Hold on, saints of God. He's got something better. So by faith, you still thank God. We don't wait till the battle is over. We shout now. We shout for the victory here and now. So you do that, and you do it by faith. You do it by faith. So with that last standard in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us, God, from evil, and deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that's what we say to our Father today. To God be the glory. God bless you, saints of God. God bless you. Amen. 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 Thank you for hearing from me today. Thank you. I pray you heard the Holy Spirit. I pray you heard the Holy Spirit today. And if there's anyone that is here that is dealing with all of this evil, which is all of us dealing with some evil, go to the Father. Go to the Father. Put on your whole armor of God. Listen to what he's saying. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on what you see and hear in the natural. Go to the Father. What's yours is yours. What God has for you, it is for you. It is for you. I pray again that you will go back and listen to the series on dealing with the Lord's Prayer and practice those things. And you just don't just have to pray them as such, but in your prayers, the way you pray, you know, incorporate it in the different ways that you pray, the different ways that you're going to pray, and incorporate some of these things. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Saints, I love you. I love you. I pray that you are delivered from the evil one today. Delivered from the evil one today. Praise be unto God. Amen, 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 amen. It is back in somebody's hand. I'm through. Praise God, praise God. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Awesome word, awesome word. Deliver us from the evil one. And then Minister Malkia put in the chat that it even says deliver us from ourselves. And sometimes we are our worst enemy. Enemy. Yep. Auntie Denise, do you want to say something? Your hand is raised.
Yes, I do. Bishop was saying how we are. Oh, am I unmuted?
Yes, you are. Okay. We hear you.
Bishop was saying how the first thing that the enemy does, he speaks to us. We listen. Jesus was the one who taught us how to escape temptation. Mm-hmm. When Satan came and tempted him, he quoted the word of God.
Absolutely.
It cut it off right then and there. Eve went and looked to see if what Satan said was true. Uh-huh. Jesus didn't go looking to see if what Satan said was true. He quoted the word of God.
Yes.
That is the weapon that we use to escape. He said, I've given you a way of escape. My word.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, I beseech you guys to go back and listen to all of the sermons. The series was a great series. It definitely was a great series, a way to look at the Lord's Prayer in a different way and to apply it, into our lives. Amen. I do the offering now and we'll do announcements or
Do the offering. Go ahead.
Elder Mark, were you raising your hand for something?
I gave you a thumbs up.
Okay. All right. You can go on our website, www.newvisionforlife.com. That is where you can give your tithes and your offerings and also be a blessing to the ministries that are on our website. Without you, without your tithes, without your offering. Matter of fact, let me say thank you for your tithes and your offerings. Is allowing us to do ministry. It is allowing us to feed the homeless. It is allowing us to clothe It allows us to help those who are in need. It allows us to help for benevolence and funerals and what have you. Without you, when we were in the building, it kept the lights on, it kept the water on, it kept the ministers, you know, with their salaries and what have you. Without your tithes and offering and being faithful, we would not be able to do what we are to do. So I want to say thank you for still being faithful, giving your tithes and your offerings. Do not stop. Do not stop. Do not stop. Continue to be a blessing unto the kingdom so that God can bless you. And Father, as we give our seed, Father God, as we sow, God, and as you receive our offering, God, we thank you, Father God, for meeting all of our needs. We thank you, God, for the jobs that are coming and the money that's coming from the north, the east, the south, and the west. Father, blow on us. God, we thank you for monies being returned, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for gifts in our hand, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for our debts being paid off, Father God. We are thanking you for in advance, God, for our expenses to decrease. God, we are thanking you in advance for blessings and increase. God, we don't give you this money so that we can give these things. We give this money because we were told to give this money and to be obedient. But God, in giving, we are blessed. So God, I thank you for blessing us. I thank you, God, for meeting our needs, God. I thank you, God, for property acquisitions, God. I thank you, God, for houses. I thank you, God, for cars. Those are the materialistic things, God. I just thank you for everything that you are doing for us, Father God, because we have been faithful and taking care of your home, you take care of our home. So I thank you, God, because we're faithful in taking care of your home, you bless our home. God, we give you the 10. You allow us to keep the 90. God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Father, yes. God, we never cease to give your son, Jesus Christ, the glory. We will never cease to give him the honor. We will never cease to give you the praise. In Jesus' holy, precious, wonderful, matchless name, we pray. We thank you in advance. And we thank you, God, that you allow us to help advance the kingdom. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. So let me, if I could, say at this point in time, saints of God, we are so close to a major breakthrough. We are so close to a major breakthrough. I am asking you in the name of Jesus to continue to pray when it comes to where God is planting us, where he is planting us. I'm continuing. I'm asking you, not only as far as what you're doing in your tithes and what you're doing in your offerings, I'm asking you to be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. Increase whatever it is that you can. Trust me that there is major breakthrough that is coming. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I know it. God is the one that's going to orchestrate any and everything that needs to be orchestrated, and he will take us where he will have us to go. He will have the building that he wants for us. He will have that for us. We have been, last Sunday when I preached, I guess it was last Sunday, I don't remember, at Abba's house, and it was stay in the race. Saints of God, now is not the time to give up. Now is not the time to walk away. It is not now. Stay in the race. You shall come out winning. You know, in the race with man, when you're in a track race, only one person can cross that finish line to be the winner. Everybody else crosses the line, but they don't win. I'm telling you to stay in this race, because every one of us that cross the line, we shall win. We shall win. And we're winning together as a unit together. Increase your giving as you can. Increase your prayer life like you've never done before. Increase is a time for the increase. So trust the God in me. Trust the God in me and trust God. Trust God that when I say that something is on the horizon, it is coming forth in the name of Jesus. Be encouraged in that. In Jesus' name, amen. And I thank Danielle for thanking you, because everything that she said, we could not do it without you. We could not do it without your giving. And a lot of people have been deceived in churches because they say, all you want to do is talk about money. All you want is our money. Well, beloved, You couldn't live your life without money. The word of God says money answers all things. And everything you got going on in your life, there is a cost to it. So why is it okay for you to deal with money when it comes to your personal life? But when the church says, give money, give money, give money, and it's when you're dealing with a church that you know is upright, honest, before God, okay? I understand why people say the things they say, because they've dealt with a lot of deceit, a lot of stealing, but y'all know better here. You know better. So please be faithful, continue to be faithful, stay in the race, continuing to do, and I stand in place for all of those who have benefited and benefited, not so much as profiting, but who have benefited from the things that we were able to do for them because of your giving. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.